Welcome to the University of Arizona College of Medicine Phoenix Department of Family, Community, and Preventive Medicine audio updates for March. This is Shari Veris. I'm the chair of the department and will host this approximately 30 minutes. This is an attempt for our department to reach out to our distributed 200 plus faculty across the state of Arizona, providing you with updates on what's going on in the department and who's in our department. This is a very community-oriented set of updates today. I hope you enjoy them. I want to tell you about a couple events coming up. We have in April a workshop called Focus Pocus, Point of Care Ultrasound Training. And then we have Arizona Academic Family Medicine Innovation Conference, also called AFMIC. AFMIC's a day-long event. We'll be hosting it at the College of Medicine Phoenix this year. All are welcome to attend, and we will have food and opportunities to get to know people. So please attend that if you can. In May, we will have our annual department dinner and awards. That will be Friday, May 8th at Culinary Dropout in Phoenix. If you're out of the Phoenix area and you need housing, please let us know. In July, we will have the also mega training for the residency programs. Feel free to provide feedback on content that you want to hear or not hear for future editions of this. Again, we do this all audio update quarterly.
Focus Pocus, Thursday, April 16th, Arizona Family Medicine Innovation Conference, Friday, April 17th, Family Medicine Dinner and Awards Meeting on Friday, May 8th. First up, we have Katie Bright, Associate Dean of Community Engagement and Interim Dean of the Yuma Expansion Campus.
I wanted to give a three-year MD Primary Care Accelerated Pathway update. These are three-year students that are pursuing primary care and can pair with our amazing primary care residencies across the state. We are on our second cohort now. We have five students that have been accepted into the program. Three are interested in pursuing careers in family medicine and two in pediatrics. These applicants are now interviewing with programs across the state to be paired and determine their future residency program. So stay tuned. But again, three in family medicine, two in pediatrics. And we're so excited to welcome the second PCAP crew to the future of our primary care physician workforce. Thanks.
We have our new administrator for the department, Sean Clendaniel, and I wanted to make sure that we have an opportunity to introduce you, Sean. What do you want to tell people in the department about yourself?
Well, thanks. I'm super excited to be here. Always wanted to be part of the Banner team, just wasn't timing and it wasn't the right position. The position is perfect for me now and the timing couldn't be better. And I'm super excited to be here and getting to work with the team.
Wonderful. You have a long history with federally qualified health centers or community health centers. What do you want to share about that?
Yeah, I've been fortunate to work in the FQHC community health center space for a long time, directly, indirectly, and in various capacities. So I spent 13 amazing years as part of the senior management team of a geographically large rural community health center based in Flagstaff, spread across northern Arizona called North Country. Then spent 2 years at the Arizona Alliance for Health Centers, representing the at that point, 26 FQHCs, and I think there was something like 300 clinics in the state, and was building out a couple pop health systems and strategies, and developed AHEC in that system, and then left for a bit of time. And then most recently, I've been with District Medical Group, which is the medical group that supports and staffs the entire Valleywide. So I got back into the FQHC space because they have 11 community health centers. So 20 odd years in and amongst health centers has been remarkable, and it's a great place to work.
Also, you have some public health background.
Yeah. Earlier in my career, after getting my master's of public health, I worked more in the community health space. I started my career in that, the old world of writing grants, administering grants, and a lot of the health promotion, disease prevention activities. Always been in that space. Public health is near and dear to me. I guess you could say sort of the ethos of who I am. And recently, I've been part of the Public Health Association, and I just finished my year-long stint as the president. So now I'm the outgoing president for the Arizona Public Health Association. Been a good time, but also a challenging time to be in public health.
Definitely, I could see that. What excites you and what do you think is possible in this new role?
Yeah, that's a good question. What excites me is that, I don't say this lightly, University of Arizona and Banner are both doing extraordinary things. And I think we're at the sort of in the position to continue that. So as somebody that's got my master's of public health and my MBA from U of A, a wildcat through and through, somebody that's been involved with family community medicine at the College of Medicine Phoenix for a number of years, it feels kind of like coming home. As somebody that used to run a couple regional AHECs, it feels good to come back to the University of Arizona system. And then the fact that it's within Banner, I feel like we can really do some remarkable things. So what excites me is that, you know, when it comes to developing new residency programs and expanding, you know, undergraduate and graduate medical education, I feel like we are literally in the cat perch to do remarkable things.
I agree. If you were to think 3 or 5 years out, what would be like hitting a home run for this department? What would you love to see?
A home run would be when people think of family medicine, they think of our program, both residency and school, as being the nexus of change and transformation and innovation. I think that is the pipeline of growing, you know, family physicians, us being a leader in that and getting groups to develop new pathways, developing new programs like what's being done at Yuma, expansion of GME spots across the state. I think that we are the convener and we're the facilitator and we're the ones that can really be on the forefront of continuing that work.
Anything else you want people to know about you? Tell us a fun fact.
A fun fact. So I oftentimes would joke in a previous life that I run for fun, but compliments of recent back surgeries, in fact, recent L5, S1, ALIF, 360, 2 weeks before starting this job, it's been a very tumultuous last couple months. People think it's crazy that I had major back surgery, a total fusion, 2-day surgery. It started this job 2 weeks later, where normally you're off for 6 weeks. So I'm super excited to be settling in 60 plus days in now, and I'm looking forward to getting back to running and being more active.
Yeah, that's very distance runner of you.
Life of a distance runner. I think that's a metaphor for life about perseverance and resiliency and doing the little things.
A gritty sport, isn't it?
As too is the world of primary care, and I can't speak of being a family physician, but I can say that I think we all share that value, is that it takes grit and determination.
Yep, for sure.
Going back to the question you asked before, a chance to get to work with you has really been meaningful, and I'm super excited to be your partner in both the family medicine department at U of A and the family medicine department at Banner. We got big things ahead of us.
Well, thank you so much, and I would say likewise.
Awesome.
You probably noticed I'm using the AI voice feature. Yep, back by request. The voice morphs a little each time I use it and based on the blend of our voice recordings. Next up is Jonathan Kartsonis, Assistant Dean of Rural Health, interviewing two of our star faculty.
Okay. Well, first, could you introduce yourself?
I'm Marisa Spires. I'm a family medicine physician originally from California. I went to medical school at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix because I was really interested in exploring rural medicine. From there, I got to spend a year in northern Arizona in Payson, where I fell in love with rural medicine and found out how much I enjoy caring for patients across age, all ages, which brought me to family medicine. I went to Colorado, to North Colorado Family Medicine, to train to do full scope family medicine with the goal of coming back to Payson, which is where I work now.
Thank you for that. That's a great introduction. I'm also curious, were you part of a certain curriculum in medical school? Please comment.
I was part of the first LIC, which is a longitudinal integrated clerkship at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, based in Phoenix.
And can you tell us what it's like to finish residency fairly recently and then be in a setting where you are now, where you were a medical student and now you're faculty?
It's been very exciting. I've really enjoyed being in Payson. It was very encouraging as a medical student to be in a place where there was a community of providers who were excited to teach. And it's been very rewarding being able to be on the other side of that now and being able to have medical students in the clinic, being able to help them through their first procedures. I got to have a medical student with me today to see their first toenail removal. I've really enjoyed being a preceptor for medical students and also being able to work with residents and help them work through their first. It's been really great.
Well, Marisa, thank you for your answers. It's extremely rewarding to have you come back and to be able to work with you. So I want to introduce everybody to Mandana Simnani, MD, family physician in Yuma, Arizona, and also a leader in education there, and has worked with our LIC students.
Good morning, Jonathan. It's an honor to be a part of this. My name is Mandana Simnani, going with Mandy. I was born in Tehran, in Iran, which you hear all the news about, and had to move to Europe because of the circumstances and political situation. So I grew up in Sweden, and I went to medical school and got in my residency in general surgery and did a fellowship in pediatric surgery. However, moved to U.S. Around mid-2009, 2010, and did a fellowship at Children's Hospital, USC, Los Angeles. And after that, I needed to have a residency done. And family medicine was the specialty that resonated mostly with me because of having the children and also their families. And I'm extremely happy about my choice. I also developed this passion to work for underserved areas because I did my residency in southern Arkansas, northern Texas. And I realized how important it is to be part of this, you know, build a meaningful relationship with the patients and also try to use your discipline and compassion and go on with the community that needs you most. However, after that, I came to Arizona, which always been my one of my favorite states, and started working and had the privilege to meet Dr. Karsonis and other colleagues, and really honored to be asked to be a on-site LIC director for their longitudinal internship.
Your mentorship was invaluable. You know, an exciting development, as many in the department know, is our three-year curriculum headed up by Dr. Katie Bright, who is the vice dean of the new Yuma Regional Branch campus. And I understand you heard some exciting news just recently. Could you tell us briefly about that, please?
Oh my God, it gives me chills. She has been accepted into an accelerated medical school program for University of Arizona, Phoenix. And we are all over the moon about that. We're so happy, so excited for her. All her undergrad, she did at UCSD in neuroscience and cognitive science. And she has been working all the time on the side doing even educational parts with being involved with other medical students, and she chose this with her heart and also believe that she will bring dedication and integrity and heart to the program. And also I'm confident that she will grow to a physician that not only treats illness, but also builds meaningful relationship with her patients and also open this path and help with other students who are interested.
Well, Mandy, she certainly has a great role model to refer to as she develops professionally.
And I want to thank you again for all that you've done for the department. Thanks so much.
The department has recently developed the Community Health Advisory Council for the College of Medicine Phoenix. This council, comprised of students, faculty, and community members, seeks to help us target and improve on community health needs. For more information, see our department website.
I have Christina Robinson here. Christina is the chair for our new Community Health Advisory Council. Christina, I wonder if you could just tell us about yourself and some of your background in working with the community.
Yes. Hi, I'm Christina Robinson. I have been in community health for a number of years. About 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with a rare disease. And after that, founded a patient advocacy nonprofit. So that's what I've been doing. Hallett Solutions Group supports individuals with cystic fibrosis.
Thanks for sharing that context. You have some background as well in working with hospitals and healthcare and community benefit. Do you think that helps you in a role like this and kind of seeing what the possibilities are?
I believe it does. I think having both that professional and lived experience in this role brings in that background in community health, working with program management, stakeholder collaboration, and even systems improvement.
Wonderful. Christina, we've had a few meetings now forming this Community Health Advisory Council. What do you think's possible for this council? Like, what do you think would be a really good outcome of this work?
Well, there's so many possibilities for this council. I think having both the community and individuals from the University of Arizona part of this council is so meaningful. I think that what we're doing is building a foundation that, regardless of the members of this council, that the work will continue. And I think that, to me, is the most exciting part about looking at all of those different aspects. The council experience, the needs of the community, and putting all of that information together.
That's great. Often, we don't have these mechanisms to partner directly with our community. Why do you think that happens?
I think that there's lots of different reasons why it happens. Sometimes people aren't aware of those systems to get engaged. Sometimes the pathways are not always clear. Sometimes people believe the work or the need is so great that nothing can help, or we want to solve a lot of things at once. And the only way that we can solve anything is just making those incremental steps, identifying what those issues might be and what can we do to help.
It's hard to talk people out of that tendency to want to solve everything before we actually stop and think about it and understand it and decide, is that not even something that we can help with?
Yes, I think infrastructure helps create those behaviors that you want from both the planning committee, but also the council members. And by behavior, what I mean is identifying sort of that cadence that people will know what to expect or how to expect, or if there's a need in their world of work, how do they bring that forward? What's the mechanism? And then how to build some goals or strategies around that. So everyone comes to the table with these really great ideas and also deep experience in their profession. And so how do you make that work when everyone's coming from a different perspective? But I think that's the beauty of a council like this, is because it's all of those wonderful perspectives, all of those lived experiences that people have, whether it's personal, professional, or a combination of both. I think that's where the answer is. I think putting in an infrastructure so people can see their place in that helps build that picture. And by building that picture gives, I think, life to some of those aspirations or some of those goals to get those needs addressed and outcomes moving forward and issues solved.
Next up, Katie Bright will tell you about our January Primary Care Physician Workforce Summit number 3.
Hello, I'm excited to give an update on our third Arizona Primary Care Physician Workforce Summit that happened on February 10th this year. We had 118 individuals from across the state register for the conference, 6 virtual, so 95 in attendance. So the summit began with just some networking, but we were excited to offer stories from the field, 2 tales of GME expansion in pretty extreme circumstances. Dr. Abdul Weed talked about the East Valley Dignity Health expansion, and Dr. Ed Paul talked about his experience creating GME in rural places across Arizona and beyond. So that was inspirational, I think helped remind everybody of why we do what we do, because we do make an impact. Katie Bellis joined us. She is the strategic administrator of the Office of Economic Opportunity, where the Rural Health Transformation Program funding will be overseen for workforce development, and kind of just gave us an update on RHTP. We ended up spending most of the afternoon brainstorming about how to close the gap and talk about solutions for the primary care physician shortage. You know, what are our shortage solutions and what resources do we need to actually address those gaps? And we brainstormed quite a bit and did a report out after that. So looking at our survey data for the end of summit, 83% of our participants thought that the summit was extremely relevant to their work. Topics that were most valuable were the ones specifically around rural health and rural training initiatives. They liked the networking, peer learning, and table discussions.
Thank you, Katie. Addressing the Arizona primary care physician workforce is an important initiative in our department. Convening our collaborating partners across the state is a key strategy to address this. Reports for previous summits are on our website, and the current summit report is coming soon. Last up is Victoria announcing Grand Rounds.
Everyone, our department Grand Rounds lecture series is in full swing. Topics are varied, but always directed towards family medicine clinicians and promote the professional growth of our specialty. A very exciting update is that we have launched a resident lecture series within our Grand Rounds lineup. Each of the 8 senior residents in the UA CompP FM residency at BUMCP are giving an evidence-based Grand Rounds lecture. So far, we've had Dr. Okwagu lecture on osteopathic manipulative medicine, Dr. Dunn on shorter courses of antibiotics for common infections, Dr. Staus on cardiometabolic effects of hormone therapy, and Dr. Kelly on universal pediatric screenings. We also had the great privilege of hosting Dr. Angela Lamson, LMFT, from East Carolina University this January. She spoke on relationally centered integrative care within the primary care setting. We are always looking to host speakers who are local and national champions in primary care. We offer a hybrid participation opportunity for each lecture, so feel free to join us either here in our clinic at BUMCP or via Teams. 1 hour of CME credit is offered for each lecture. I specifically would like to thank our UA CompP All-Star team that helps schedule and coordinate our grand rounds, including Maddie Wright, Claire Turner, Farah Kudia, and Kristen Nugenbauer. Please feel free to contact me with any and all questions. Thank you so much.
We are at the end of our audio updates. This is coming out late so that we could make it through the family medicine residency match this year. As predicted, it was brutal across the country. We need more primary care physicians, no matter how much AI and substitute there is coming. People need doctors. The forecasted primary care shortage is staggering, and it drives up the cost of healthcare. It suffers as everybody's problem, but nobody's responsibility. And as a department, we are taking this very seriously and continue on multiple strategies to address it. So thank you for joining us. Next audio update will be in June. Again, those upcoming dates, AFMIC, Friday, April 17th, and the department dinner and awards, May 8th. That's a Friday as well. Take care.